oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hello and welcome to the, oh crap, the 18th episode of Tooncast. That says 17th in the script. Holy shit. Brought to you by Geekcast Radio Network. I am your host, DFG and Mike, and today I am joined by Steve Megatron, who is breaking his Tooncast cherry. Hello.
Hello.
We're going to be discussing, we're going to be getting dangerous with Darkwing Duck on this episode. So how are you?
I'm doing great.
Yes. We potentially have a interview, possibly before the end.
Which will not be named at this time.
No, we're not telling anybody. No, no, no. This is going to be a really big surprise. But I can tell you one thing. It is going to run on two podcasts that we do. Actually, that will probably be the launching point of one of the podcasts. And by this time, you should know which one that is without having to reveal it. But yeah, I am in contact with an agent for a certain celebrity voice actor, and hopefully I can score an interview for us for that. I just got a brand new webcam today. Thank God I had that Staples gift card. I didn't think it was going to be useful for anything because I've been trying to unload it to get $100 cash from people, but went into Staples on Saturday. And of course, we're recording this Monday evening, so by the time this goes up on Wednesday, it'll already be whatever. I went into Staples on Saturday because my mom needed printer ink, and I was looking for looking for some office stuff, pens and markers and stuff like that. And I just thought to myself, okay, well, because I started doing like YouTube videos on my Samsung Behold. And the quality, once it's transferred from my phone to my computer, kind of sucks. So I'm like, all right, well, if I want to continue to do this, and it, basically the only thing I've done so far is like a couple of DVD reviews of Superman, Batman, Public Enemies, and the X-Men Volume 3. And actually, I did all four volumes that are currently on DVD, but the first one was that I just got X-Men Volume 3 and Volume 4 for the 1992 cartoon. So I'm like, all right, well, I want a webcam, or I want, you know, a camera for the computer. I go in and I see this thing. This thing is basically a miniature webcam. It's not like that, you know, it's not like a giant trackball that you would see in a mouse. I hate those types of webcams. This thing is nice and miniature. It actually comes with a stand. And it comes with a built-in microphone, which the quality on that's kind of whatever. I may have to use my headset from now on. I'm not really sure how I'm going to do that. But it's pretty cool. The only complaint I really have about it is the fact that the USB cord is way too short because I have no movement whatsoever on this thing as far as where I can put the stand for it to be able to, you know, show me in the frame. Other than that, not much else is really going on. Actually, the webcam was pretty much free outside of the Staples card, and my mom had owed me some money from when I let her use another gift card. So, it's been a pretty hectic week, I guess. We've had I don't even know how many releases between M-Wire, ToyCast, and Tooncast. I know Tooncast had three, M-Wire's had one, which the next one will be up this coming Saturday, and then ToyCast had, I think, between the last time we did a, I think it was like two last time, and episode 19 of ToyCast came out, we're actually going to be doing episode 20 probably tomorrow night with Michael Wilson and the goddamn Proto Man, I think. Not sure yet, just depends on if shit hits the fan or not. So what's been going on with you? You're on vacation.
Yes, I am technically on vacation. Yes, I came to the rescue after I heard that there was no co-host tonight, and being that it's a series that I grew up on as well, it was very easy for me to say yes to co-hosting.
I didn't even ask him. He basically took a jackhammer and said, fuck it, I'm doing it. And basically took over. No, I'm just kidding. No, I did hear back from Diana Liu. She had emailed me, said she was having some personal problems. And I said, okay, well, I hope everything's all right. You know, we'll get you on another episode. So I understand that. I understand stuff comes up. Before we get into the... shit always happens. Before we get into the episode here, I would like to read a iTunes review that was written on the 17th of September by 2169. It says, the title of it is Nice Job, Guys. He gives us 5 stars. I also listened to the Transformers G1 podcast by Mike, and it is pretty darn good. I like this Tooncast also because you do so many different cartoons from your youth. I really like the He-Man episode. It's really in depth, and I like your take on these shows, especially how funny you guys are when you point out how silly some of these cartoons can be. Anyway, keep it up. The only thing he asked is, can you just curse a little less? I know I'm a prude, but it's a humble request. You guys rock, though. Thanks for making these podcasts and bringing back some good memories. I can't speak for any of the other co-hosts that we have on, but for me myself, I see that as censorship. I mean, I don't mean it literally, but you know, I understand your request, but that's the way that I speak on podcasts. I've said it before in other shows. If I want to say the F word, you know, I'm going to say the F word. It's cursing isn't necessary for me, but it's an emotional thing. It's like an emotional response. Basically, take
one of those things that helps you drop your point.
Exactly. And I have a pretty sharp point sometimes.
Yes. I've seen that.
Yes. Fucking Springer. Okay, we're not getting into that. I gotta get you away from that. But I do appreciate all the reviews. I did, on this upcoming week's episode of M-Wire, when I do the outro for the shows and I say about the iTunes thing, I did kind of plead with people to give M-Wire a chance and give M-Wire some reviews. Please, Movie Week in Review, it's our movie review podcast. If you like this podcast, Tooncast, you'll love that one as well. We are slowly improving on it. That is up to, as of this coming Saturday, we will have 13 episodes of M-Wire. So looking forward to more episodes of that. And of course, you know, Steve had to take a phone call really quick. So I think I'm going to end this clip. And we're going to go into the Darkwing Duck theme. Darkwing Duck is the theme of our episode, so we'll be right back with the history lesson.
Darkwing Duck of mystery, Chippy out of right, swoops out of the shadows, Darkwing of the night. Somewhere some villain schemes, but his number's up. 3, 2, 1.
It is now time for the history lesson, and unfortunately, Kevin is not with us. The professor, he's still dealing with some personal issues in his life as well. Hope everything's okay with him. I have not heard from him since about a week and a half ago. Unfortunately, we need to, not that I'm trying to shove Kevin away, he knows he is more than welcome to, you know, rejoin our ranks once he gets his personal issues straightened out, but Tooncast has to go on because with the schedule that I've set up with holiday shows, if we didn't have done the the three episodes in one Wednesday, we would have missed all the holiday episodes. So anyway, for the history lesson, for episode 18, we travel back to 1991 with Darkwing Duck. Darkwing Duck is an American animated television series produced by the Walt Disney Company that ran from 1991 to 1995 and 1996 to 1997 on both syndicated programming block The Disney Afternoon and Saturday Mornings on ABC. It featured an eponymous... It featured a superheroic duck. Holy crap, I'm not even... What the hell? I'm not even going to read that. Holy crap. With an alter ego of Drake Mallard, voiced by Jim Cummings, it is the first of two spin-offs of DuckTales. That is the history lesson. We're going to go straight into the general memories. I love this show. This is probably my most favorite show out of anything that Disney did back in the late 80s, early 90s. It's just so awesome.
Yeah, I absolutely love this show. Like, if it were still on today, and I would probably still sit here and watch it, because it was a very entertaining and not so lighthearted, goofy show. Like, I mean, it was goofy, but it was in a good way.
Yeah. I agree. Did you have anything else to say?
I guess I can save some for later.
Okay, well, I mean, this is the whole point of this segment is general memories. Like, what are your, what are your...
Well, my favorite characters, I'd have to say, would be, obviously, Darkwing. Mm-hmm. Gizmo Duck was kind of annoying when he showed up.
Yes.
But as far as, like, the villains, I can't remember the names, but I like the guy that turned into a plant and the electricity.
That would be Bushroot and Megavolt.
Yes, those were my two favorite, besides Darkwing's clone.
Megaduck.
Yeah, Megaduck. Although those three were probably my favorite three villains out of the entire show.
Yes.
Who were very prominent characters.
Yep.
I know it's bad, I can't remember the names of them, but they were good enough to where I remembered at least what they looked like.
Yep. I remember watching this show, and I remember watching the pilot to this show, Darkly Dawns the Duck, and it was just an awesome, awesome story. I thought it was really great. It was a two-parter, and it was just a great way to start off the series. And as I said before, just the probably in my opinion, I believe it was the best that Disney did, even though I do still love DuckTales, and I do still like Tailspin. So please, all you DuckTales fans, don't send in hate mail or voicemail saying, what the hell is wrong with you? Why don't you like DuckTales better? This was much better, I think.
Oh, yeah, I definitely love this show a lot better.
Yeah. So up next, we're going to go into the characters and voice actors. And, of course, the main characters for the heroes, we have Darkwing Duck. As I said before, played by Jim Cummings, Drake Mallard, average citizen by day, and St. Canard's resident superhero by night. And of course, we will note later that basically this Darkwing Duck is basically a takeoff of Batman. Just like Bat Duck is Daffy's alter ego in Looney Tunes, which is a takeoff on Batman. Darkwing, at first, when I first saw him in the pilot, I really didn't like him at first because of the whole ego thing and the fact that he was just out to get publicity. And then, of course, he ends up with Goslin and, his adopted daughter. And then, of course, Launchpad comes in and all that. And he kind of mellows out sometimes after the pilot. He does still have those ego trips, but not too often. So I really, really liked him after the first two episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah? Is that all you're going to say is yeah?
I love all the characters to this show, pretty much.
You have Goslin Waddlemeyer, who is voiced by Christine Cavanaugh. Drake, a Darkwing Duck Mallard's 9-year-old adopted daughter, occasional crime fighter, and as the Crimson Quackette, later the Quivering Quack. The transplant from DuckTales, Launchpad McQuack, voiced by Terry McGovern, Darkwing Duck's sidekick, originally from, as I said, DuckTales. He refers to Darkwing as DW, and Darkwing often calls him LP. You have Honker Muddlefoot, who is played by Katie Lee, the Mallard's next-door neighbor and Goslin's best friend. And then I'm just gonna go through these really quick with the secondary characters. You had Herb and Binky Muddlefoot, voiced by Jim Cummings and Susan Tolsky. You had their older son Tank Muddlefoot, who was voiced by Dana Hill. Morgana, I can't even pronounce that. Everybody knows who Morgana is, played by Kath Soucy. Jay Gander Hooter, played by Danny Mann. And then you had Derek Blunt, who was voiced by Peter Renaday. Gizmo Duck came over from DuckTales. He is Darkwing's rival superhero, played by Hamilton Camp. Just a great, pretty much the entire hero cast is really, really good as well. And then getting into the villains, I did not know this, but the main villain in the pilot, Taras Bulba, was voiced by Tim Curry. Now, that's saying something for Disney to get somebody as well known as Tim Curry to voice a villain.
Yeah.
I'm sure they didn't have to like jump through a whole bunch of hoops, but wow. I'm trying to think, is there any other characters I want to mention? Hammerhead Hannigan, who was Bulba's lead henchman. What the hell was that?
Just keyboard.
Huh, that was weird. No, I heard like a. Okay. Anyway, and then you had Clovis, his personal assistant, voiced by Marsha Wallace. And ones that I remember the most, the same ones you remember, the Fearsome Five, you had Negaduck, Megavolt, Dr. Reginald Bushroot, Quackerjack. Quackerjack was awesome, and the Liquidator. One thing we do have to mention, Negaduck was also done by Jim Cummings. He is basically Darkwing Duck's evil twin, who is actually a version of Darkwing Duck from an alternate dimension. Megavolt, hello Homer Simpson, is played by Dan Castellaneta, who also does Homer Simpson, and it's weird watching him. It's weird to me watching Megavolt because I just think of him as a more raspy Homer.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just so, so weird. Then you had Bushroot, who was voiced by... Oh, I know what the beeping was. Somebody was calling me in during the stupid recording on an unknown number, so anyway. Then you had... Spike, Bushroot's pet assistant, large carnivorous plant loosely resembling a Venus flytrap with shaggy mob of orange hair. Spike was pretty funny in a couple episodes. Quackerjack. Now, this is their version of the Joker. Okay.
Oh, yeah. That was another one I forgot. I love that character. Yeah,
Quackerjack, and again, voiced by Michael Bell. Wow. I mean, even though Michael Bell's voice, and Kevin and I have talked about this, even though all the characters he plays, his voice doesn't change that much, it's still nice to hear a recognizable voice, but you just don't think of it. I didn't know who half the, you know, all the stuff that we've done on Tooncast so far, I didn't know who half these people were until I looked them up, obviously. I mean, some of them I did know, like Lance from Voltron is Michael Bell. Obviously, Prowl from Transformers is Michael Bell. I didn't know that at the time. And then you had the Liquidator, who was voiced by Jack Angel, which, wow.
Yeah.
Liquidator is actually kind of funny. Formerly a dog named Bud Flood, a crooked salesman for bottled water. Now a watery villain whose dialogue is usually patterned after advertising slogans, which I thought that was very, very funny. Then you had the whole Foul and Shush thing with trying to turn the show into like super secret agent thing. I'm not really going to go into all these. There's just way too many characters for this show. I mean, it's good that they were there. I'm just trying to go through and trying to give Kevin a piece here. Trying to see if there's any Rob Paulsen voices in here, which I don't, I thought there was, but I don't see any. Steelbeak was Rob Paulson, right at the beginning. A rooster, he is smooth-talking and slick Brooklyn-accented villain who has metal set of jaws, possibly a James Bond reference, and is top foul agent due to his ruthlessness and intelligence. He is one of the Darkwing's most dangerous enemies. How was the other one? Dr. Gary and Dr. Larson I forget the episode title. I could just look right here at the DVDs, but I'm not going to. It's the one where it's the Bushroot origin story. They play Dr. Gary and Dr. Larson. They're voiced by Frank Welker and S. Scott Bullock. So, it's nice to see Welker doing other things than animal stuff, which, you know, pretty much he does all the animal stuff. If you had to pick one hero and one villain, who would it be and why?
If I had to pick one hero and one villain?
Yeah.
It would definitely be, I love Darkwing Duck. He's my absolute favorite character in the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
I love how he's got some of the, kind of dumb comedy and somehow manages to defeat the villains of the show and sometimes doesn't know how the hell he did it.
Yep.
Which is definitely funny. And he's such a wannabe Batman that I just couldn't help but relate to him.
Yeah.
As for the villain, man, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
There's so many to choose from that, yeah. I don't know, I'm almost kind of stuck on, it'd definitely be one for the Fearsome Five.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would just pick the Fearsome Five altogether, because those five together, Bushroot's okay, he's not the best one in the group, but, the other four are really great as well. So, hell, we can just go with that, the Fearsome Five.
Yeah, that definitely would have to be mine because, if you look at them, they kind of got various characters that are similar to Batman characters.
Oh, yes, very much so. The voice cast for this, again, there's only been, I think, one disagreement that Kevin and I have had on voice casting, and that he doesn't like Lynn Lipton, who did Chitara from Thundercats. But we have never just outright hated a complete voice cast on any of the shows that we've done so far. And this voice cast is just amazing. You got Jim Cummings, who did Darkwing, Drake Mallard, and a whole bunch of other people. Frank Welker, who is only listed as an additional voices. Dan Castellaneta as Megavolt. Just a Michael Bell as Quacker Jack, Rob Paulson as Steelbeak, Jack Angel as the Liquidator. Who else is in here? Neil Ross for additional voices, Charlie Adler for additional voices, Susan Silo, who I don't know who the hell that is, but she played Neptunia. B.J. Ward in additional voices. Tim Curry was Taras Bulba. Just a long list of just great voice actors. Hell, Cam Clark, who played Leonardo in the Turtles cartoon, was the boy by the fountain in two episodes of the show. So you just it just goes to show you how many voice actors Disney can actually get for stuff like it. Hell, Wacko was Jess Harnell was in this as additional voices. Overall, excellent voice cast. I don't think there's any out of the major voice roles. I don't think there's anybody that I don't like.
They pretty much had a pretty great voice cast. Anyhow, they seem to fit with the characters. Like whether they had a kind of zany voice or, wannabe brooding type voice. I mean, they all fit their character, and especially when, they had the episodes where they had, like, the role reversals and they just, sound completely different yet similar to their original voice for the character.
Mm-hmm.
So, the whole voice cast was pretty, kick-ass anyway.
Oh, yes. The whole thing with Darkwing and Negaduck was, they were pretty much interchangeable. I mean, if you took them both and stripped them down to their skivvies, they're basically the same color. They're basically just white ducks. I mean, you could put and that was a plot point in a couple of the episodes where one of them would take the other one's costume and, you know, try to fool people. I guess we can, unless you have any more final thoughts on this, we can move on to the behind-the-scenes segment.
No, we can move on.
Alrighty then. The production for this, I don't have any actual notes, I just have the production list. I don't recognize any of these people. I'm sure that they've all done very well and very well for themselves, stuff like that. The only writer that I recognize is Dwayne Capezzi, all the way at the bottom of the list, only because I know he wrote stuff on The Batman Show. And I mean The Batman, not Batman the Animated Series.
Not the best one.
Yeah, well, The Batman was okay. I liked the final season, the fifth season. It was all right. But, I mean, I think a lot of these stories were really interesting. And, of course, it's a lot of spoofing on stuff, you know, like we've said, Batman, and just stuff like that. The puns in this show, oh, my God, the bad puns. And just so, so cheesy.
Oh, I know. And I will say just a Batman knockoff.
Yeah, I know. But I'm not even talking about Darkwing's whole smoke and, you know, I am the terror stuff. I'm talking about, like, stuff that Launchpad says, stuff that Gosling says. It's just totally cliched stuff. I mean, it's funny. I'm not saying that I don't like it, but it's just, it's like when I was watching it, I'm like, oh, wow. I just can't believe how dated this show is. I think it's held up. I mean, for people that like it, for people that, you know, were kids back then that were watching it, now they would still like it, but still, you're going to, you know, because we're kind of quote-unquote adults, you know, we're still going to cringe at really, really bad puns. So it is now time for the actual show. The show premise here, on the success of DuckTales led to a spinoff series, Darkwing Duck, 1 year after the show had ended. Darkwing Duck was inspired by two episodes of DuckTales entitled Double O Duck and The Masked Mallard. The original concept had Launchpad McQuack as the star, which that would have been a very different show.
Oh, yes.
While the show establishes its own conventions, it is largely regarded as an affectionate satire on superhero mythos and lore, some obvious, some subtle, and others quite witty. Darkwing's costume, gas gun, and flashy introductions are all reminiscent of pulp heroes such as Sandman, Crimson Avenger, the Green Hornet, and most especially The Shadow. The fictional city of St. Canard, Darkwing's Rogues Gallery, and the relative darkness of Darkwing as compared to other Disney heroes reflect Batman. In addition, the episode Time and Punishment, Gosling is transported to a future clearly based upon that of Batman, depicted in Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns, with Darkwing having become much more hardline and strict on crime, wearing a suit of armor and driving a tank, as well as the episode Tiff on the Titans with the mysterious Darkwing and the straight arrow Gizmo Duck played on the famous relationship between Batman and Superman at one point. In the episode, Darkwing asks, "Who needs superpowers when you have a super mind?" while Gizmo Duck remarks that he thinks Darkwing's crime-fighting style is disreputable, disturbed, and possibly devious. In addition, there are Marvel Universe references such as the secret intelligence organization Shush, a parody of Marvel's S.H.I.E.L.D., and the episode A Duckophobia shows Darkwing being bitten by a mutated spider and growing six arms.
Wow.
God. I don't even know if I saw that episode. I don't even know if that episode.
I think I have.
I mean, I'm sure I've seen it, but I don't know if it's on these DVDs. I mean, we'll get to the DVDs a little bit later. a few James Bond parodies exist as well, such as the villain Steelbeak, whose beak makes him similar to the Bond villain Jaws. And his personality and trappings are similar to the Bond villain Ernest Stavro Blofeld. The character of Darkwing Duck appeared occasionally in the series Bonkers, and earlier Gosling appeared in the series Raw Tunage. In an episode of the Aladdin TV series, Genie changes his form from a French waiter into Darkwing Duck.
I would have loved to have haven't seen that one.
Oh, yeah. Darkwing Duck and DuckTales are directly connected by two characters crossing over in the world of Darkwing Duck. First is Launchpad, Darkwing's sidekick, who is longtime staple of DuckTales, and Fenton Crackshell slash Gizmo Duck, an armored hero who became popular part of the DuckTales cast during the series run. Also in the episode In Like Blunt, DuckTales villains Flintheart, Glomgold, Magic of Dispel, and the Beagle Boys make non-speaking cameo appearances. Overall, this show is just... I don't know how many times... This is the problem with doing a podcast where you don't like something. I mean, where you just don't... Where you like it, but you just can't find anything negative about it. You know, it's just...
Yeah, it's so difficult sometimes to find anything wrong with whatever you're watching.
Well, and plus, you know, if you grew up on it and you like it, you're not going to say a bad word about it, for the most part. I mean, I'm not the type of person that I can, you know, pick apart stuff that I like. I mean, you know, TFG1, I did pick that apart quite a bit, but that's because I was looking at it as an analyst type of thing. But because we cover so many cartoons on Toontcast, I didn't even have a chance to watch both DVD sets, and there's 20... There's 40 something episodes between both volumes of the Darkwing series. So, yeah, there is some trivia for Darkwing here. Let's see. The occupation of Drake Mallet, real life identity of Darkwing Duck, is never mentioned, nor do neighbors the Muddlefoots ever suspect he is doing anything suspicious. The statuette that Drake Mallard slash Darkwing Duck pushes down to enter his secret lab is of Basil of Baker Street from the Disney feature The Great Mouse Detective. Oh, cool. I didn't know that. Launchpad McQuack is the first Disney television cartoon character to appear in two separate cartoon shows. As I said before, he first appeared in DuckTales. Fowl, the fiendish organization for world larceny, originally appeared in an episode of DuckTales. I didn't know that at all. Wow. Much of Liquidator's dialogue is based on advertising slogans, which, yeah, we've said that already. I don't think I got any errors for the show. A few episodes of Darkwing Duck were banned. The most infamous was Season 3's Hot Spells, which only aired once on ABC. The plotline was involved Goslin trying to gain magic powers like Morgana, and in the process sells Darkwing's soul to the devil. Another banned episode was A Duckophobia, which was believed to be banned because it parodied Spider-Man. I don't know.
That's dumb.
I think that those could come back now because Disney owns Marvel.
Yeah, that's a perfect time to re-release those now.
Exactly.
No lawsuits from anybody.
Exactly. I'm going to move on to the music of the show. The theme is so, so catchy. Just that opening theme, even if you are watching it, just the images that they give you on the theme to the music is just so, so catchy.
But this was pretty much like Disney gold. I mean, it was at the best height of Disney's, you know, animations, and all their themes were pretty catchy anyhow, but this was probably my favorite out of all of them.
Yep.
Out of everything that Disney had released so far.
Oh, yes.
Just because, I mean, like you said, you can sit there and just imagine it just while you're listening to the music, or if you're watching it and not listening to it, you can still imagine the music. So, I mean, it's a really memorable theme song and intro.
Yes. Yes, very, very much so. I would say if I had to pick, like, my top three Disney themes from this era, it would be Darkwing Duck, DuckTales, and Tailspin. I really didn't care too much for the Chippendales theme. I don't know. I would have to go back and listen to it again. I don't know. It just, now that I've heard now that we've covered DuckTales and Tailspin and this, I like these three themes better. And I'm glad that I moved the schedule around in the episodes, or in Toontcast history, so I could put these three episodes back to back. The series original music was by Philip Griffin and Jeff Marsh. Moving into the popularity of the legacy segment, the reception for this, Darkwing Duck was named the 93rd best animated series by IGN, calling it one of the many reasons why after-school cartoons rule. Okay. How can they say that and rank it 93? I mean, Kevin and I have... The IGN Top 100 animation list has become a running gag on Tooncast because these people don't know how the hell to rank cartoons.
Well, no, if they did, they'd actually have, you know, memorable cartoons for people that are our age.
Yeah.
I mean, jeez, you know, it's just crazy.
Yes, very much so. It is spun off from DuckTales. There's a Darkwing Duck video game. That's based on the show. It's referenced in Duckman, Private Dick Family Man, I Duckman, 1994 Wolfgang Cracker thought Duckman's name was Darkwing. References to other media. Darkwing Duck has several references to characters from other media. Darkwing himself is a parody of DC Comics Batman. Some other references include in the third episode, Beauty and the Beat, the two scientists tormenting Professor Bushard are called Dr. Gary and Dr. Lawson, notable reference to The Far Side author and creator Gary Larson. In episode 21, A Duckophobia, Darkwing parodies Marvel's Spider-Man by being bit by a spider and growing extra arms. The group The Fearsome Five have the same name of The Fearsome Five in DC Comics, but bear no resemblance other than both groups being villainous. Over three seasons, there were a total of 91 episodes of the show. The Hot Spells controversy. Okay, here we go. The episode Hot Spells has rarely been shown since its initial airing. The episode features a character named Beelzebub who greatly resembles contemporary depictions of the devil. Goslin makes a deal with Beelzebub to receive magical powers in exchange for Darkwing's soul. That a Disney-related show had any reference to Satan and was even allowed to be aired is highly unusual. The same quote-unquote devil also appeared in the episode Dead Duck, but most of that episode was evidently a dream sequence, and the devilish character whispered his name to Darkwing's ear so the viewer wasn't able to hear it. Hot Spells was intended to be a Halloween-themed episode. I don't know. I can see the point of the controversy, obviously, because you don't want your kids thinking they can go to, you know, something. You don't want to encourage devil worship. If people want to do that on their own, fine, whatever, but you don't want to actually encourage it to children.
No.
But, you know, I don't know.
You don't want to make them think that they can go to, like, Kmart, go to customer service, and, you know, go get Satan to come up and be like, oh, yeah, I'd like to request a soul today.
Wouldn't that be Walmart too?
Whichever. I mean, don't take your pick. I just happen to not like Kmart, so I mean, that's the one I'm choosing. Say whatever the heck you want, man.
It's not my fault you're a Walmart lover.
I don't love them. I just like the cheap prices that I get sometimes.
Yeah, you know the only reason why you get those cheap prices?
Yeah, they send a workout to Zimbabwe and have little kids that are making 10 cents an hour.
That, and plus they don't pay their employees, they don't give their employees benefit packages like health benefits or anything like that. But anyway, the broadcast history for the show. The two-part episode Darkly Dawns the Duck originally aired as an hour-length TV special on September 7th, 1991. As a part of a larger TV special, the Darkwing Duck premiere and Back to the School with the Mickey Mouse Club. The film served as the show's pilot. Seasons 1 and 2 were aired simultaneously in the autumn of 1991, Season 1 on syndication as part of the Disney Afternoon block of shows. Seasons 2 and 3 aired on Saturday mornings on ABC. All episodes remained in syndicated reruns on the Disney Afternoon until 1995, and then returned to the lineup from 1996 to 1997. The series was last seen in the U.S. on Toon Disney, but due to the addition of Jetix and other Disney shows to the channel, it had vanished completely. The network, along with a number of other shows, it was removed from schedules as in November 2004. Toon Disney aired the Christmas episode featuring Bushroot on December 25th, 2004. The show was last seen on Toon Disney in the United States on January 19th, 2007 as part of Toon Disney Wildcard Stack, and was also removed from Toon Disney in Scandinavia since September 2006. The opening introduction, this was interesting to me when I first got this this wiki information. There are seven different versions of the Darkwing Duck introduction. The first two were aired in the Disney Channel when Darkwing Duck first premiered and featured alternate animation and did different versions, and a different version of the familiar theme song. The third version was used in the Darkly Dawns the Duck VHS. The fourth version was used in syndication and is actually one that they currently use today. The fifth is the version used on the Disney Afternoon and is the same as the fourth version, only cut for time. The sixth and seventh introductions were used in the ABC Saturday morning airings and contain mostly scenes from those episodes, starting with Darkwing tiptoeing up the Ottoman Bay Bridge. Wow. Seven different versions.
Sounds like somebody couldn't make up their mind what to use.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, at least, you know, I mean, other series, like such as Beast Wars, they managed to change the theme song slightly for each season, and then they had one different version of the first season one, which was cut for time for the power block that it used to be part of on UPN 50.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, they didn't have them just, oh, I feel like having an extra theme today. change it. You know, I mean, it was just not random. It was, it had a meaning. Unlike this, it kind of seems like they were like, oh, I think we're just going to change it up today.
Yeah, it's very random, I think. For home media, we have four VHS tapes, each containing two episodes of Darkwing Duck, were released under the title Darkwing Duck, His Favorite Adventures in the United States. On September 20th, 1991, Darkly Dawns the Duck. However, most countries around the world only received releases of Darkly Dawns the Duck and Justice Ducks Unite. Each video came with two glow-in-the-dark Darkwing trading cards. Featured in the cards were Darkwing, Launchpad, Goslin, Honker, Negaduck, Busher, Megavolt, and Taurus Bulba. Walt Disney Studios Home Entertainment released three-disc DVD box set entitled Darkwing Duck Volume 1 on August 29, 2006. It includes 27 episodes, including the two-part pilot Darkly Dawns the Duck, which was presented in edited form as opposed to the uncut version's release on VHS. The second volume containing the next 27 episodes was released on August 7, 2007. Unlike DuckTales and Chippendales Rescue Rangers, the episodes on the DVDs are presented in the order they aired. The sets do not contain any special features, which, I'm sorry, that is a fucking crime. Disney does all this other stuff. They have fucking 70th anniversary Platinum Edition Pinocchio DVDs. They have, you know, all these Platinum DVDs for their classic animated movies, but they can't at least give us one or two features for a show that was very popular in 1991. Give me a break.
I wish they would.
It's the same thing with the rest of them. I don't think any of them have special features. I don't think Tailspin does. I don't think Rescue Rangers does. I don't think DuckTales does.
You know what I think? Shout Factory should fucking redo these.
They would
get us some special features, man. We need some interviews. We need some, you know, behind-the-scenes crap. I mean,
jeez,
we need something exclusive. What the hell's the point in buying it? I mean, besides to have the show, I mean, you want special features when it comes with it.
Yeah. As I said earlier, there was a video game. There was a Darkwing Duck video game released by Capcom on the Nintendo Entertainment System and the Game Boy. Another game was also made for the TurboGrafx-16. I kept this in here, the Let's Get Dangerous in other languages, just because to mention it. I'm not going to actually go through any of the languages, because I don't speak any of them. But the show is dubbed in several languages for international distribution. As
this
such,
looks a lot like, or this looks like more than just a several.
Well, yeah, but I'm...
That's a lot.
I know, but I'm not going to mention any of them, so... I might try to do the Russian one, but anyway, I don't know, I might. The catchphrase, Let's Get Dangerous, had to be translated into simile catchphrase for the target language. It often did not keep its literal sense as a direct translation of the phrase, which is unlikely to hold the same impact. Okay. Sorry, guys. Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's alright. It's one of them days.
I've been up all day. I didn't take a nap this afternoon. Trying to see here. Where is the... Oh, there it is. The Russian... Yavul. That's all I can say is Yavul.
Yeah, I'll do the German one.
Yeah. Let's see. Where is the German one?
Oh, not the German one. That one sucks. This is 2-1 risk. I do the Dutch one. Latin wee liquor, Lynn Gandolin. Yeah, it sounds stupid.
But... Yeah, nothing is as good as it is in America. His other canon introductory catchphrase was, "I am the terror that flaps in the night," usually followed by, so what? Okay. Strayed metaphor similar to the declarations of Batman. All right, so we're going to go into the closing. Why don't we do some final thoughts on this show? Why don't you go first, because I've been talking the entire time.
Yes, you have. But anyways, yes, this is definitely a great Disney show. Probably one of the best, in my opinion. I mean, I know I can't speak for everybody. This is just, as usual, another opinionated kind of show.
Yes.
With also fact involved. There's very memorable characters involved, a great voice cast, definitely a lot of, like, pretty good episodes to the point that I could probably sit here today and not pass out and still watch it.
Yeah.
Similar to Batman, had a crap ton of villains, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Not all of them were like Batman, so that was cool, too. But, yeah, this is if you don't have it, you should get it, if you can afford it.
Yes.
Damn me and my money issues. but yes, I will eventually get this. I definitely like this a lot better than, like, DuckTales or Tailspin or any of the others. Just everything about this show was just one of the last best dark Disney shows that they had next to Gargoyles left.
Yep.
Before they went to this new style animation and kind of retardedness.
Yeah, we'll get to that eventually. Not on this show, but we'll get to it eventually.
Yes, that'll be in future cast or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Read it in the future.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Kind of GCR in Wars or something.
Yes. You can get the DVDs. When I found them on eBay, the first volume was $15 with free shipping. The second volume was $29.69 with free shipping. So I paid roughly about $45 for both sets total.
Not bad.
Which is not bad. Actually, you know, this topic. This was supposed to be Tooncast's launching first episode, and it took us 17 episodes to get here. Because originally, when I first came up with Tooncast, I was going to have Darkwing Duck as our leadoff, and of course, that didn't happen. I kept trying to fit it in as we went, and it still didn't happen. I'm very glad that it happened now, with me being able to put it at the end of, I guess you could say, the Disney afternoon spotlight, considering episodes 16 and 17 were DuckTales and Tailspin, respectively. And we had already done Chippendale's Rescue Rangers in episode 11, so that was already set and done. But yeah, most definitely, if you can find these DVDs, pick them up, because if you're a fan of the show, they're just great. Alright, so the closing. I just wanted to bring up a couple of program notes before I go into the closing. The episodes, I'm trying to think if we're going to move. I don't know if I'm going to move any around. I know I've moved some. I'm not really sure. We've got enough content. I think we're up to, I think the schedule's up to, 68 episodes. But I'm not sure if I want to split up the Marvel cartoons and have them as three separate episodes. Like, the main ones I wanted to focus on was X-Men, Spider-Man, and Iron Man. So I'm not sure where in the schedule I could fit those. If I move them, I would probably have to move them down to the lower part of the schedule, which would mean around episode 50, 60, you know, around there. I really don't want to have to do that, so I'm not actually sure what we'll be getting next week for Tooncast.
Who knows?
Yes, who knows? All right, so the outro. Thank you for joining us here on Tooncast. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. The first is you can visit www.geekcastradio.com. and find all the other GCR and podcasts there. The second is you can stop by PredicotEmpire.com/CafeSpark, where we have new sponsors. Big Bad Toy Store.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Yes, you're going to have to write something out for me to actually include that in all of our outros now.
Yeah, so that is for sure.
Yes, so we can give them some promotion. crap. Crap.
The third, that's all, folks.
Shut up. The third, you can leave the show feedback on iTunes. Please do this. We will read. What the hell is a read? We will read all reviews on air. The fourth is you can visit the earth-2.net forums and find our shows for the find our threads for the shows under the self-promotion section. And the fifth is the email address, which is gcrntunecast@gmail.com. We now have a voicemail line. Call us and leave us your thoughts on each episode. Be sure to say which show you're leaving the message for and what your name is. The number is 502-526-5821. You can follow us on Twitter. The show name there is GCRNTunecast. Mine is TFG1Mike, and what is your Twitter?
SCP21.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of TuneCast and wish you'll join us next time when we will be reminiscing on something. Honestly, I'm not really sure because, as I said, I'm not sure if I'm going to split up the Marvel cartoons or not. It may be the Marvel cartoons, it may be Tom and Jerry, it may be Beanie and Cecil. Only a few people will get that reference. For now, I'm TFG1Mike with
Steve Megatron Phillips.
Saying that War Horns for Optimus Prime transform and roll out, and thank you for listening. Until next time.
Narf.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.